Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the UK ice hockey podcast. We're in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, hockey clothing for hockey people, worn by the best and hated by the rest. Listeners to Zero Pucks Given can get 10% off of everything site-wide at hockeyartclothing.co.uk. Just use the code ZP10 when you check out. And we've had our sponsorship extended with Manscaped for an extra month, so you've got one more month to get your 20% off and free shipping on all the products at manscaped.com. I like the Performance Package 5.0, which is what they sent me. You get the lawnmower, the weed whacker, all the crop preserver and the nice smelling deodorants for downstairs, as well as some lovely boxer shorts and a nice free t-shirt as well, all in a handy little wash bag. And you get 20% off of that if you use the brand new code that we've been given, ZeroPucks20. So all one word, all caps, with the 20 at the end. So ZeroPucks20. And that will get you 20% discount at manscaped.com. And we are also on the Sports Social Podcast Network, the biggest sport podcast network in Europe. So many great podcasts on there, everything from football to rugby to hockey to tennis. There is all sorts on there, and you can find it all on their website, including little old me, little Zero Pucks Given. So this is episode 93. Welcome along. We are doing our little bit like we like to do once a month, where we sort of dip our hand into the women's game and find out what's going on from everywhere, from the elite right the way down to the development leagues as well. We've gone a little bit sort of rogue. I normally like to switch it around, but the way that it's all kind of worked out, we've ended up with another Queen Bee, which is fantastic. But we're joined by Katie Dadd, and she's one of the younger players that's coming through. She's played at Chelmsford a little bit as well. Did a little all the mixed stuff through her junior career, and she's now playing in the Elite League for the Queen Bee. She's been playing in the Elite League since she was 14, playing with GB under-18s as well. So she's now sort of taking that step over the bracket in the next year, where she'll become a fully-fledged senior. So we catch up with her and find out all about her career. This is Katie Dadd.
I got a heart like a truck. It's been drugged.
Zero Pucks Given in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, with Manscaped Male Grooming Products, and on the Sports Social Podcast Network. Absolutely delighted to be putting our little touch onto the women's game again, and we are joined by Queen Bee's Katie Dadd. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much for joining me. I really enjoyed this little sort of once-a-month thing where we get a little focus on the women's game. And in terms of sort of social media, we say every week that we have people on. Obviously, your teammate, Rachel Cartwright, was on about a month ago, that social media is growing the sport massively. Do you guys really appreciate that side of it?
100%. It's just like getting everyone to get involved and just like kind of giving the women's more of a chance. I think it's a massive help, especially with social media.
Yeah. Did you play the Vixens this weekend? Did you play in that game?
Yeah.
Was it 7-6? You lost in the end.
It was 6-5.
Oh, 6-5. I saw it was tight.
Yeah, we were 2-0 up, and then it went to 2-2, then 3-2, then 3-3. It was so matched. They had less players, but they had that one star, Jodie Bloom, Jodie Anton Smith now.
Yeah.
But she's amazing.
You guys really are pretty much the top two sides, aren't you, in that league? And that game certainly showed it, finishing 6-5. So, I would assume you're looking forward to Sheffield in May, thinking that who's going to get there and really focusing on that, as well as all the league title that is still up for grabs, but, yeah, real focus on the playoffs.
Yeah, so, obviously, I've been playing Elite League since I was 14, so it's never been this close. There's always been one team that's always, been up top. They've always been who's going to win. They're definitely going to win the league. But it's just, this year's very competitive. Everybody stepped up. Everybody's gone I want to win the league. And it's just very competitive.
Yeah. And you've got, you've been playing in the Elite League since you were 14. You've always took advantage of the fact that you can play for more than one club.
So yeah.
Have you really sort of, I'm not going to say enjoyed it because you've obviously enjoyed it, but do you sort of, you go and play in the Elite League and then you might sort of step down to play with another team. Do you take all of that with you and help the teammates in the other team?
Especially with the young ones, so I don't want to drop a name, but Connie Fidler. So she's just been playing for the long list, the GB.
She has, yes. Congratulations to Connie. And Kira Waddington as well, Chelmsford-based, has been in that squad.
So I'm quite close with her as well. So I've been helping her quite a lot with her shooting, just some extra little tips where I can there and help. It's nice to see because obviously I'm still her age and everything, and I'm just there if you do this or if you do that, it's just a little extra point there for her.
Mm. Do you say that something that me and Rachel spoke about, that funnily enough, later this week I'll have an episode coming out with Nick Rothwell, who is doing a project about getting current players and ex-players onto a platform so that they can have support outside of the game.
Yeah.
So I think looking from the outside in, especially as a bloke looking from the outside in, that the women's game, your support network for each other is incredible.
Yeah, 100%. We're always trying to hype each other up, trying to make everybody better. So obviously, we can get better and, help everyone grow for what they need, and just always be there. You have someone to help you.
Is the banter still hard though?
Yeah.
Is it still hardcore?
Yeah.
Now, as a younger player coming in, then if you're 14 and you go into an Elite League dressing room of older women.
Yeah.
What is that like?
It is very strange because I joined in Guildford, so for me that's quite a far drive. So I joined in Guildford, and it was obviously with Josie, we had Beth. It was more of, I knew the players, but I don't know them. I knew of them, how they played and stuff like that. And it was just a very different environment. They still had banter and everything with all this stuff they do, but they're still very serious of how they play and how, superstitions and everything. It's just completely different from boys' hockey to going into women's. It was complete head spin.
Yeah. Do you still play a bit of mixed?
I did at the beginning of the season, but I wanted to focus on my women's. Just trying to get that extra, women's side of things, because obviously with boys, everybody just wants to hit, and obviously in girls, a bit frustrating because you can't.
Yeah.
And I used to get called up on it, so I was like, you know what, it's fine.
We'll quit. That's something, again, that Rachel and I discussed, because I think it's obviously got the PWHO in America now. They're gone. They're full contact. But is it something that, do you think that, especially coming through the junior system as a girl, that is almost skipped, that part of teaching you to give a hit and more importantly, teaching you how to receive one.
Yeah, 100%. With the boys' club that I started off was with Chelmsford, so it was more of a physical side and everything. We did hitting drills and everything, so they did include that with everyone, which I think that was like really good of them, because obviously as a girl coming in, playing boys hockey, you're like, oh my god, am I going to get hit or something like that. You always have that nerve in the back of your head. But with what they've done, they've been like, you're all equal, like you're going to get hit, you're going to take a hit and stuff like that. So it's just a little bit of a reassurance.
Absolutely. I mean, in sport, that's kind of, everyone is all equal. You're all playing the same sport.
Yeah.
So you all should be treated equal. Back from my history in boxing, when I was fighting regularly, my coach was a woman. We would spar regularly. She was only 8.5 stone. I was, you know, a little bit heavier, but we would spar regularly. And a lot of the women that I used to train with, I'd say, you know, if she's sparring with a man, I'd be like, hit him. You're boxing. He's going to hit you. Hit him. Yeah. Hit him hard. And I think a lot of the women that play hockey, especially if they do play mixed, best example of that really at the division that I cover is Ellie Wakelin at the Romford Buccaneers. I've been sitting in the stands and people will sort of go, oh my God, is that a girl? Like, oh my God, are they going to hit her? And I always say that, yeah, if they hit her, she'll hit them twice as hard back.
Yeah, 100%. Same with Esther, like she'll get in there, like she does not give any. She's just like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, yeah. Abby's playing with the Queen Bees as well, isn't she? Because she was with the Chelmsford Warriors, I think, playing in the NIHL 2 as well, which is, again, she's getting that little bit of mixed to get that extra ice time. So with that, because obviously we all know the ice time in this country is a nightmare, isn't it, trying to get the training sessions. I know the training sessions at the Queen Bees are quite late. We had a few comments of something about how quickly Rachel Cartwright can wash her hair and get out of the rink.
Yeah, she's quick. Yeah. When she's getting changed, she's out of her. And I'm still there, like, half changed, like, huh? How?
So what do you do outside of hockey, then, to keep your fitness up?
So I go to the gym, and I work with kids, so it's more of a running around with them as well, so that kind of helps. I do a roller near, like, in a car park somewhere, just like round near me, just trying to keep like my hands and well, I don't have hands, but yeah, just I'm trying
sure. to. I'm sure you do.
Just trying to keep it like up to top, where everything I can, fitting in work, fitting in hockey, fitting in everything. So yeah.
Yeah. When you play roller, do you play with a puck or a ball?
Play with a ball.
Because that's something that I think can, the reactions-wise, because obviously with the bounce and it can move in different directions, obviously that a puck can't move, that it can keep them kind of, keep you on your toes and your reactions going for where you go. Do you just play roller recreationally or do you play for a team at all as well?
I don't play for a team, no. I used to play for a team, the Highlanders, but that was it. So it was like when I was 10.
So it's like, it's just like old school Mighty Duck shinny in a car park.
Yeah.
So obviously, I mean, your age, you're 2006, weren't you? I think from your elite prospects. So you're sort of 17 coming up to 18.
Yeah.
You know, the Mighty Ducks and everything was how my generation got into the game. What was it for you?
Well, I got into the game because of my brother. So my brother started playing hockey. We watched a game, the Chieftains game. Funnily enough, I remember the game. It was against Romford and who was it? It was someone came off the ice and there was just blood pumping out of his like eyebrow. And it was just like, my brother was like, I want to do that. Like, cause he's more of a physical side of player. So he started playing in like January and then May, I just was like, I want to go on the ice. I'm here like 5 times a week. I want to go on. And that's just how I started.
So you were just going to training with your mum and dad whilst he was training and you were just sitting there?
I was just sitting there like on the bars as a kid, like, you know how it is. And it was just yeah, I was like, I can skate, can I go on the ice? And then one time I just went on with my brother and I just fell in love with the sport.
Does he still play?
He coaches. He's there, here, there and everywhere with coaching. Like, he's got a life.
Yeah. Have you been down to the Ozone Rink in Bracknell and had a little go down there?
Yes.
What do you think of that facility?
I love, because it has, like, all the, obviously the little, like, I'd say it's a little ice because it's, like, quite little.
It's a little 3-on-3 pad, isn't it? So.
Yeah. And then you've obviously got the glass right near the front. You've got a cap for the parents, so obviously they love that. And it's just, like, a nice, I think we should have more around the country, so it's just, like, a little place you can go to, like, keep things up.
Yeah, just like hone your skills there.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we had Danny Myers come on and we're speaking about the Ozone, and he said his only real worry with kind of franchising it across the country was how does he share the reputation? Because the Ozone's reputation is because of him and because of the coaches that he's got there. So he's got to really, he's got to be sure that that's going to be the same throughout. Because I agree with you. I think it'd be brilliant if they were, because you've got one in Bracknell, if you had one up sort of Birmingham way and then maybe up Manchester, Liverpool way.
Yeah.
Just sort of spread around the country to try and increase the participation in the game. But from speaking a couple of weeks ago with James Waddington from the Chelmsford Rattlesnakes and the Chelmsford Academy there, the numbers are fantastic. Do you see that coming through?
I don't see, like, all the players who go there. It's more of, I get invited there and I go, oh yeah, I'll go, or something like that. Like, I haven't been there in quite a while, to be honest, but there's no fault against it.
No.
It's always been top tier, especially with the coaches like Louise Adams, like, and Nats and everyone. Especially for the girls side, obviously, knowing that they have a coach, like, girls coach there, like, they understand, like, where we're coming from. And obviously with Danny Myers, massive reputation, like, amazing coach. Like, I've been coached by him for, like, 3 times, and I could not put one single fault on him. It was amazing.
Yeah. Do you feel his style improves how you play as well?
Yeah, 100%. Obviously with, it was shooting, to be honest. With my wrist shot, it was, because I always used to proper drag it back. He was just like, do a quick release, because I never used to do a snapshot, like a snapshot. I could never do it. I was just like too scared or something. He was like, just do it once, and I got it straight away after he like coached me for like 10 minutes, and I got it, and it was straight away. Like, yeah. He's amazing.
Is it now one of the best ones in your arsenal?
No, my snapshots. Yeah. That's where all my goals come from.
are you standing on the point then, on the power play, waiting for it to come back?
No, I'm not on power play, but for Cobras I am, but Queen Bees I'm not. Obviously, you've got Abby Sylvester with an amazing slap shot. Anywhere she can take a slap shot, she's getting it in. She's got an incredible shot, and also really powerful, really hurts.
Yeah. Have you had any crazy injuries then from playing hockey?
I've dislocated my knee.
That's painful.
It always like plays up and everything, but I'd say that's probably my worst one. I've broken a couple of fingers, but that was it.
Is that taking pucks?
Yeah.
you said earlier that the room as whole, a little bit sort of superstitious. Have you got anything that you do?
Oh, I'm a very superstition person. So pre-game, I have to have a pasta pot. And on the ice, I have to have gum, like chewing gum. I just have to be chewing gum. I have to put my left side on before my right side with everything. And also have to take my stick before every game.
Any flavour of pasta? We're talking about Tesco's spicy tomato all the time.
Oh, do.
Yeah. I swear, and that's good for that energy. That pasta is absolutely great for that energy. Is that so? When you're playing Queen Bees, because your face off times can they can be all over the shop, can't they?
Yeah.
You can have, you know, from late morning to early afternoon to right in the evening. How does that affect your game day routine?
Quite a lot, to be honest, because obviously, say it's at like 7:15. One of the games was at 7:15. Like, I had to have my pass at like 6 when I normally have it at like 4 or something like that. It was just very, it was weird, but obviously you have to get used to it. And you know, like the times aren't going to be the same every day. It's a hope and a wish that they are. They never are. But yeah, there was, it's a little bit more of a planning to do with it than anything else.
Mm. Do you get a fairly good notice? Because I know the fixtures are obviously done in advance.
Yeah.
You, I mean, you can have 2 to 3, even 4 weeks between your games sometimes, which is is bananas. But, you know, you might occasionally get like a couple of weeks where you have, you know, games and thingy. But and then the times, are they allocated a little bit later?
So normally, obviously the fixtures are normally right. So we roughly know what time we have to be there. If the times change, we all get email and stuff like that saying, oh, the times have changed, normally like in a week advance. So obviously we train on a Thursday, so it's normally a week before that, so on that Thursday, the week before.
And you're hoping you don't get like an 11:30 face-off in Whitley or something like that?
Oh, no. We had a 12 o'clock face-off in Whitley before, and it was like on a Saturday, and I was just like, so we're driving up there Friday night, getting there late, having a lay-in, which is a plus, but you'll still have to get there at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but surely, surely that's better than leaving at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
That is a long old way up there. And I said something Whitley have got, they've got quite a good little sort of streaming setup, haven't they? So that they can actually have the games online. And I was watching Whitley the other day. I can't remember who they were playing, actually. I think it might have been Blackburn Ladies. And it was Ice Maidens was putting it live on Facebook.
Yeah.
I thought that was absolutely terrific.
I thought Adam McMahon, like, he's 110% the top supporter. Like, he's there every game. He's getting lifts from people that he can to come live stream them, come video them, come get photos for everyone. It's just like, you know, when you have like that social media and he wants to progress like women's, it's like coming from him as well. I don't know if he played hockey or anything. I don't know much about him, but he's there, like, every Whitley Bay game. If it's normally Kingston, he goes to as well. He's always there.
Yeah, I loved what he was putting out, and I commented on the stream, and he commented back saying, that, oh, you know, that I was watching, and he likes what I'm doing, so I'm liking what he's doing. I think we're going to have to hook up. I'm going to have to get him on here, and we're going to have to talk about it. it's something I think that everyone should be doing. It's, you know, kind of, I'm almost getting sick of myself saying it now, that, you know, every single club, why aren't you streaming your game on YouTube? Get as many eyes on it as possible. It's not going to cost you that much money. It's not going to lose you revenue.
No.
Everyone wants to watch this sport. It's great to watch on telly. I mean, it's better to be there live.
Yeah.
So watch it on telly and then go and watch it live.
100%.
Do you watch much live or on telly? Do you follow NHL or anyone else in Britain?
So I normally follow Toronto Maple Leafs, as my dad is from there.
Oh, your dad's from Toronto?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I follow, like, I don't really follow them, but I just, like, kind of keep an eye on, like, how, like, the men's are doing, especially with Elite League, like Nottingham, Sheffield and stuff like that. Just like kind of keeping in touch with them, like see how they're doing and just kind of being a bit of a support for them.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, it's all a family really at the end of the day, isn't it? You're all playing that same sport together and wishing each other well. Speaking of which, you've had your involvement with the Great Britain under-18 side, and obviously you play with a lot of full internationals as well.
Yeah.
I mean, looking ahead to what's coming up, you know, we've got some world championships, the Olympics in Turin next year.
Yeah.
What are your sort of international prospects looking like?
I think we've got a pretty good team. So obviously with women's, you've got like Rachel Cartwright, Chrissy Newman, you've got like Jodie, you've got Katie Marsden, like you've got the top players that play here. And it's like when they all come together, because sometimes they do under-18s GB and women's GB together, and you just see them all together, like they play against each other like competitively, and then you see them all together, they're like best friends, like they haven't been separated.
Yeah.
It's just like crazy with that atmosphere and everything. It's just, it's weird, because obviously, you know, like when you play against them, they're like, they want to win and obviously very competitive. But when they're together, like playing for the same team, it's, they're like best friends.
Yeah. I said, my room where I recorded this, I've moved it around in the last couple of days, so I've actually lost something I wrote down for this. Were you in the last GB18s trip out to Latvia, was it, in Riga?
No.
No, because I'm trying to find what I wrote down, because that sort of group particularly, I spoke to sort of three or four of them last year, and Lily Endicott, Amelia Williams, Talia Davison-Wright, and that talent at that level is just absolutely incredible. It's really, really is flying. Obviously, Lily and Amelia were at Queen Bee's as well, I believe.
Yeah, and Talia.
Oh, and Talia's there as well. You're keeping all the good ones at the Queen Bee's, aren't you? You're like monopolising.
Yeah, so I went to Dumfries, and also I went to Turkey World Championships.
Yeah.
With GB under-18s. We both got, both times we both got silver. So that was kind of a highlight of my hockey career, especially with Angela Taylor by my side, like with Turkey and Dumfries as well. Like, she's an amazing coach. She's a bit crazy on the side, but she is, she's amazing.
I think you have to be.
I think so too. Like, she's just an amazing coach. Like, I can't fault her or anything. Like, especially with her hockey career and everything, like, you don't want to play against her. She knows your buttons and everything. She pushes them to the max, and you're just like, no, you can't. But, yeah.
Excellent stuff. Well, Katie, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a real pleasure to sort of get to know you a little bit, talk about your career. Best of luck for the rest of the year with the Queen Bees. Obviously, the league is still there, and as we said, the playoffs in May, everyone would be looking forward to that. And all the best for the rest of your season.
Thank you.
And let's hope that the Maple Leafs aren't luring us into false sense of security.
Yeah,
I know. I'm not getting too overexcited yet. Lovely. Katie Dowd, thank you very much.
Yeah.
A massive thank you to Katie for joining me on the podcast. We've had that one organised for a little while. As I said, that's why it kind of fell that we ended up with two Queen Bees in a row. But obviously, we did speak to James Waddington as well to talk about the females in the Ice Hockey Academy at Chelmsford and how much the girls' game is growing from the younger girls as well. So great to hear that Kate is obviously still going back there and imparting her wisdom on some of the younger players that are coming through. And you can tell just from the way she talks about it, that is a kid that really just enjoys playing hockey. And hopefully that will continue for a long, long time for her. So brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me. We've really enjoyed having that chat with Katie. And we'll be back later this week with the episode with Nick Rothwell, former sort of like elite league level player, played at Guildford, Sheffield, a little bit of time at Chelmsford Chieftains, as well as the Isle of Wight Raiders. He was also the presenter when ice hockey was on Sky Sports back in the late 90s, early noughties as well. So really great insight into the British game. Nick is a British Canadian, so you know, great insight into the game from him, but also a sort of a slight trigger warning, because there's a lot of stuff that we talk about, places I wasn't expecting to go, really, that, you know, gets quite deep with what Nick's been through, and what he's doing now is to sort of try and help all the players that are playing and players that might be giving up the game soon for whatever reason. You know, Nick's got something there that could help you all. So please make sure you listen and then go and check out what Nick's doing after. Again, a massive thanks to Katie. Good luck to her for the rest of the season. Say that elite league in the women's division, that is tight. After the Vixens beat the Queen Bees this weekend, I think there's only one point in it, and the Vixens got a game in hand, so that's going to be really exciting coming down towards the end of the season there. Thank you once again for listening. Don't forget, you can catch Zero Pucks Given on all of the social channels: Instagram, Facebook, X, Snapchat, TikTok, Threads, and you can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube so that you don't miss a moment. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.